Yep.
Oh, rowdy.
I haven't heard any rumor.
And then he stopped with it.
Not yet.
Like, oh, why'd you stop?
All right, well, Happy New Year. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming in. As we get started with our Parks Amenities Committee for Thursday, January 5th, 2023 at 9:02 a.m. So we'll go ahead and move on to item number one, to call a meeting to order, and then to item number two, the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Nicole, we'll go ahead and do our roll call.
Okay, Jason Hardcastle.
Here.
Jason Wortham.
Here.
Mary Branham.
Here.
Anna Dykeman.
Here.
Randall Kofer is not here yet. Sam Malchar.
Here.
Diane Olson.
Here.
Tony Pathil.
Here.
Allison will be a bit late, and then Joe Zadunek.
Here.
Okay, we do have a quorum.
Great, thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number four, conflict of interest. Any conflict of interest from anyone? Seeing none. We'll move on to item number five. Any requests to address the committee?
No, we're not.
All right. Item number six. Discuss and consider approval of meeting minutes for the October 13th, 2022 meeting and the December 1st, 2022 meeting. Does anyone review those and see any changes that need to be made?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right, we got a motion by Mary.
I'll second.
And a second by Diane. Any other discussion? All in favor? All right, any dissent? No, seeing none, it passes unanimously. All right, item number seven, presentation of the fiscal year 2022 Parks Program.
All right, I'm gonna stay up here a little bit longer today. I will be doing our presentation on fiscal year 2022 programming. I will reintroduce myself, so we have some new committee members, and this is the first time I'm ever presenting to PAC. So I am Nicole Charlevoix. I am the Parks Coordinator, thank you, Kimberly. In my role, I provide administrative, guest, client, and partner support to our Parks Department. I mainly do this through the lens of guest engagement, so in areas such as coordinating programs, events, managing our website for the parks, as well as our social media, and then, of course, providing customer service through all of our communication channels. One fun way that I like to engage with our guests and enhance the value that we're able to provide at our parks is through programming. So programs really, they range in a great variety, right? We have all different kinds. And then we really have a special place at our parks. So we have six very unique parks. Each is, you know, foundational and unique in what they offer to our community. And so it's really great to be able to have six places where we can host all these different types of programs. The National Recreation and Parks Association, which I'm going to mention a lot throughout this presentation, as the NRPA, they identify parks as vital roles, or having a vital role in meeting our community's health and social needs, right? So, so we have six parks, so that is, you know, a lot of power behind our parks that we have. As I said, our parks are powerful, and they really need to be leveraged as such. So the NRPA, they identify as leveraging our parks as a community wellness hub. So a community wellness hub is a trusted gathering place, like our parks, that essentially connects every member of our community. So we're thinking, you know, our residents and our visitors, to essential programs, services, and spaces that advance health equity, improve health outcomes, and then overall enhance the quality of life, you know, or really just the time spent at our parks. And we, while we do not currently identify with every standard that the NRPA has set out for a community wellness hub, it is something that we have identified in our parks and then in some of our past programs that we've done. And so we certainly want to move forward accordingly with the concept or framework of a community wellness hub. So, speaking on the power of our parks, they have been recognized over the last fiscal year. Right? So East End Lagoon was received a designated day on November 1st, 2021 as East End Lagoon Nature Preserve Day. So that was by the city of Galveston. And then again in February of 2021, East End Lagoon was recognized at the Houston-Galveston Area Council's award ceremony for best management practices in parks and natural areas across the region. And then with the help of PAC last July, the Park Board of Trustees designated July as National Parks and Rec Month. So we do have these accolades that we've built on, or we've started to recognize, and we certainly want to build on these moving forward. Now, of course, the power behind our parks are our people. Three of them are at this table today. And so we have an organizational chart. Now, this is not the entire operations team, of course. This is more just the Parks Department. So I also did not include a lot of the support staff in programming. So for instance, the CVB's marketing team, they play a huge part in, hello, Allison. They play a huge part in really helping, you know, get our programs out there to the world, which is the important part. We want the people to come. So starting with just this, I specifically outline them as the NRPA identifies the park employees as stewards of community wellness hubs because they have the power to really transform just a space into this inclusive, equitable space with inclusive programs and services. So, starting at the top, we have Ms. Kimberly DeNacy, which we're all familiar with. She provides overall guidance and support throughout everything that we do, including programs. And then we have underneath her Vince Lorifus, Elizabeth Schneider, and then Ann Hobing. Vince provides high-level operational assistance with programming, so he is out in the field taking care of those high-level details. And then directly under him, we have Tim Jackson, Justin Painter, and Corey Holcomb, our park managers. So they assist in many different ways with programs. There's one way where they are more hands, or I guess less hands-on, where really they are just informing their staff of the program so that they are able to communicate it efficiently to the guests. And then there's a more hands-on approach where sometimes they are managing the setup of the program. They might be developing or fully participating or just leading the program. And so one really neat way that we have tried to work with the park managers is through a annual brainstorming session. So at the end of the season, we all come together and really take from what happened over the season and kind of download it sticky note style through a brainstorming, right? So we want to collect all those ideas so that we can move forward into the next year with them. This year, we did something a bit more unique, and we took just the park managers and we had the guest experience team, and we added in the assistant managers, we added in members of the destination services team, and then we also had marketing, our grant manager, and our environmental coordinator. So we're really trying to bring all these brains together to, you know, come up with the best ideas and how we can work through them. So moving on from the managers, next to Vince and under Ms. DeNacy, we have Elizabeth Schneider. She is our environmental coordinator. And in her role, she is responsible for really solid waste management, so cleaning our beaches, right? Over the season, she did have 16 volunteer cleanups, and they ended up collecting 2,258 pounds of trash. Also in her role, she is really the facilitator in educational programming. So over the season, she mainly coordinated the Rosenberg Out and About series. So they had an Oceans of Possibility, was their summer reading program. And so she went out to the library and then also brought those kids out to East Beach and were able to show them that area. They cleaned up some trash. It was a, you know, wholesome program. And then she also ran the BMAC booth at World Oceans Day. So moving forward, she will certainly be coming up with great things environmental education-wise in 2023. And then next to Elizabeth, we have Ms. Ann Hobing. Ann Hobing is my direct supervisor. Ann, before myself, she was the main coordinator for all things programs and events and concessions and so forth. And so also in her role now that I have come on, Ann really lays the groundwork for us to have programs. So she's cultivating all those new and existing community relationships. Okay, now directly under her is myself. I am really a part of the programming process from the conception of the idea until weeks after the execution, right? And then, of course, it gets brought up again in the next season. So in my role, I either fully coordinate the program or I assist as best as I can in the development, whether that's working in-house or with a partner agency. And then I also create promotional material for social media, our 101 Days of Summer Fun calendar, and then our websites. I also operationally manage the program. I capture content on site for the program and then gather metrics, continue communicating with our partners, and then continue brainstorming new ideas. So that's my role in programming. And then under Anne, we also have the Seawall Urban Park. While they do not directly influence programming or develop it in any way, they are talking to guests all day long while they're on the pay by or if they're parking on the seawall through pay by phone. And so it's very crucial for them to be aware of what's happening in our parks and on the island as they're directly talking to those guests all day, every day. And then we also have two internships that we hosted over the last year. Some of you may remember they did come to PAC and present their findings. And they were truly a catalyst in what we were able to accomplish in programming this year. So our first Parks Program Development intern was Sky Denton. He was a Ball High senior. He was born on the island, which is really important, we found, in programming because they have this unique look, you know, at the island, and they have these connections. And me being from Indiana, that was something that it was really nice to be able to work with someone that was born on the island, right? I learned a lot through them. So Sky was tasked with developing a programming calendar specifically for Dellonera RV Park through engaging with the guests, researching the needs and wants of our long-term versus short-term guests, shadowing park employees, and then benchmarking competing campgrounds around the island. Sky developed 12 programs, and 5 of which we were able to execute this year. And then moving forward, of course, we will keep these ideas in mind and hopefully can bring them up in 2023. Our second Parks Program developer was Tara Donnelly. Her deliverable was to create 101 Days of Summer Fun programming calendar. And so that was from Memorial Day until Labor Day. I didn't show it all here just because there's only a few days in May and September. And so our vision, as we worked very closely together, was to literally provide 101 days of summer fun at our parks. And so you can kind of see, sorry, it's so tiny, but we highlighted, you know, programs, community events happening on the island. We highlighted the GINTC Nature Walks, up Gulf Coast, East Beach Cantina. So we tried to really just, you know, work with the people that we knew and the concessionaires that were out there and just bring some fun. In preparation for this calendar, Tara was researching organizations that were within our community and trying to figure out how they could utilize our space to provide outreach to a community in a way that might have never been done before. One of her really great connections was with the Texas Marine Mammal Stranding Network, and I will mention them a few times during this presentation, and they created together Dolphin Days at Seawolf Park. So from, I manage the phones, right? So from this calendar, I received tons of calls inquiring about the calendar and certain things on it. And then more specifically, people were asking, you know, what is Dolphin Days? What does Seawolf Park offer? You know, what's out there? How do I get there? Which leads me to believe they've never been to Seawolf Park. So Dolphin Days was, you know, bringing new guests to our park. And now they were able to associate Seawolf Park as somewhere where they could go dolphin sightseeing, right? So it was just one of the really amazing benefits that we saw just from this program alone. And then, of course, there are other benefits that we always want to strive to reach, right? We welcome new guests to our park. We enhance the experience that they have while they're there, create memories that can be shared with their friends and family, bringing new people to our park again, and then cultivating connections, you know, to important community members and organizations. With the right tools, we can, you know, lead back to that community wellness hub, right? Increasing Galveston's residents and visitors' overall well-being. One of the NRPA tools that we really identified with over the last season and more towards the end of it was the seven dimensions of well-being. So the seven dimensions is, of course, from the NRPA, and it aligns really with the strengths, assets, and opportunities that exist within our parks and our programs. And so when we're looking at this wheel, when you're creating programs, or you know, when I'm creating them, we think in this framework, right? So we want to at least hit one of these seven dimensions, because that makes sure that our, you know, our programs have a purpose, they have meaning behind them, and we're putting our community and our visitors first and giving them things that they need and they want. So I took the liberty of going through and identifying a program from last year that really fit with one of the seven dimensions. So social, we had bingo over at Delanera RV Park. Cultural, we did a 4th of July decorating contest at the RV park. Economic, we had our Women in Coastal Science, which was essentially women scientists in our area sharing, you know, their life stories and how they are facing the challenges of our coastal environment. And so this is a way for, you know, young ladies, young men to get in front of these professionals and be inspired to, you know, pursue a passion in a job field or just a hobby, right? Emotional, we host a National Night Out, which is a national event. And this really was provided connections with our community, right? They met GPD, they met the fire marshals, they also were able to connect with the Resource and Crisis Center, United Way. And then we also had some fun partners out there like GINTC and Texas Marine Mammal Stranding Network and things like that. Environmental, that is, you know, Elizabeth Schneider's domain, and so we're excited to build on this dimension right here. I put down Artist Boats Bucket Brigade. The kids take a bucket out there. They get to learn about what is in the sand and really get to know their environment that they get to play in. Intellectual, back to dolphin days, the kids learned how what to do when they find a dolphin stranded on our shores. And so now all of these kids are equipped with this knowledge and know what to do, know who to call, and just having that intellectual portion. You see a lot of them really intertwine with each other. And then our last one is physical. So we have our family challenges out at East Beach. And so really this is just creating a safe space where these families can have a little friendly competition and really just get physical. You can see it's a game of tug of war out there, right? And so moving forward, I will be, you know, keeping those seven dimensions in mind when developing the programs, because we want to ensure that we're doing it, you know, for a reason, that there's a purpose behind it. So I'll just go through all of our parks, kind of briefly touch on what we were able to do this year. East Beach, we hosted six unique programs. The first one being Women in Coastal Science, which I mentioned. It was very well received this season, as it was our first. Each series, we did once a month, and we had about two dozen in attendance every single time. And then we are very excited to announce that it did win an award with the Houston Galveston Area Council Parks and Natural Areas Award in the programming category. So we are very excited to continue building on this program. We've already started to put together a list, and one of our very own, Miss Anna Dykman, may be speaking next season. So definitely keep an eye out. We'll try to keep you guys all informed so that you all can see. And then, of course, we did the sandcastle building lessons that we do Saturdays and Sundays throughout the whole summer for the most part. We did the Alyssa Daysales viewing party, which was in partnership with Galveston Historical Foundation, St. Arnold's, as they have the Alyssa IPA, and then the East Beach Cantina, as they sold the IPA. So that was a really neat way to just tie into what's already happening on the island and give it a enhanced experience. And then we also did movies on the beach at all of our parks, the Galveston Family Beach Challenge, and then Bucket Brigade. And then we have Stewart Beach. Now, it is important to note that, as you know, most of us remember, during the beginning of the season, we were really focused on reopening Stewart Beach and being able to provide the new amenities to our guests and kind of working through that. So a lot of our programming ideas were imagined at East Beach, and that's where they were executed, but we were able to pull these three off towards the middle and end of the season. So we did movies on the beach, Color the Sky with Kites Unlimited, which created a very neat view from the seawall, and we were hoping that would bring guests in. And then we were also able to work with the local business. And then we had National Night Out, which I mentioned earlier. So we are very excited to. I hope we will be doing it in 2023, and we'll start planning for that too. Moving on to Seawolf Park. Now, Seawolf Park has hosted two programs in-house with just their staff. So strictly coming from Seawolf, none of my assistants so far. So they had the annual Red Drum Tournament, which they host every year. I believe Corey said he had about 40 participants in that competition. And then we have the Seawolf Easter Egg Hunt. And so what we saw is our community really loves the Easter Egg Hunt. At Seawolf, they received about 105 additional cars than what they would in a normal day by just the Easter Egg Hunt. So it's a fun little free program that Corey and his team were able to put on. We also did Dolphin Days, something cool that we're going to tie off of Washed Ashore in January with Texas Marine Mammal Stranding Network, is they are doing a Dolphin Discovery Zone on January 28th out at Seawolf Park. And so what this is going to do is they'll have a big tent set up with lots of interactive portions of it. One of the really neat parts that ties into Washed Ashore is they have an area where it's a dolphin obstacle course, and the dolphin has to skate through all of the obstacles that they find in the ocean, such as, you know, plastic waste. So it ties in really well with Washed Ashore, and then kind of that message that we want to keep putting out there. And then we also did the Timing of the Tides, which was a celebration of the Flower Garden Banks. Artist Epi Chad went out there. She set up these very interesting art installations and that represented the Flower Garden Banks. And then they ended it with a dance performance, more of an interpretive dance out there. And then Delanera RV Park, they did Movies on the Beach, a Juneteenth webinar. They hosted multiple bingo sessions with very neat prizes. They did a 4th of July decorating contest, a Christmas RV decorating contest, and then a World Series watch party, Valentine's Day raffle tickets, so you know our guests can go and have a romantic night at a nice restaurant. And then we also did a few bonfires, and then Sandy Johnson over at Delanera organized a lot of off-season programs such as a paint and sip event, a Christmas ugly Christmas sweater party, and a few other things. So they are really starting to heighten up their program, because last year, I believe, we had very minimal programming out there. So this is really a giant step that they have taken. Unfortunately, East End Lagoon, we did not manage any programs. GINTC does do their nature walks out there, and then of course there are big things coming with East End Lagoon with the observatory deck or pavilion, and so hopefully we will be working very closely with them on developing some programs out there, because it's a really great space to get people out. Just providing a recap of fiscal year 2022 by the numbers, right? So in our budget for 2022, $8,600 was budgeted for park programs. And this includes, you know, funds went to supplies, facilitating those community connections, right? Or program execution such as prizes for bingo, right? 20 unique programs were hosted, and then 60 plus programs were delivered. So a lot of our programs are reoccurring, and so that's what that means, is just that there were 60 plus executions of them. 33 partners were engaged, and then two Houston Galveston area council award recognitions for us. So that's really neat. And then moving forward, we plan to, of course, build on the success of 2022 programs. We cultivated necessary partnerships. Processes have been established now, as this was a lot of people's first year doing programming. We won our first program award and then started multiple programs that we are excited to continue to build and expand on. So really, it's been a foundational year for us. And then, of course, we want to continue researching the NRPA's best practices and ideas in line with the Community Wellness Hub. Our parks are clearly vital to our communities, and staying connected to our community is vital to our parks. And then, of course, we want to identify our community assets and resources so that we're able to connect programs with, you know, where educational gaps are found or recreational needs are found, or our, just our audience's interest in our community. So we want to use our our parks as a platform to really make those connections. And then one of the things I did hear a lot over the season feedback-wise was that we just really need to continue promoting our programs and pushing those out and, you know, on a bigger scale. And so one of the ways that we are going to do this is through our 101 Days of Summer calendar. We really want to enhance it this year. We focus strictly on the parks over the season, but we are playing around with the idea of working with Galveston Island as a whole and maybe using it as a marketing tool to get people outside as opposed to just to the beaches. So maybe be a bit more inclusive of the island. And then, of course, this can only be done through, you know, continuing to develop these strong partnerships throughout the Galveston region. And so, as you are all, as you know, our Parks and Amenities Committee invested in our parks and our community, all I ask is that you really just keep your eyes and ears open to the assets and needs that you guys identify in your community connections, and then share them with me or Ann or just at PAC, so then maybe we are able to bridge that gap with our parks and maybe bring some new programming, right? And so that is our fiscal year 2022 program summary.
Well, thank you, Nicole. And Nicole failed to mention her most challenging responsibility that she has, and that is usually tracking me down. But she is highly persistent and has a 100% success rate so far. So far, yes. But I do think that this is, you know, very important I know that in discussions on where we wanted to go that I've had with other trustees, with the staff here, particularly Vince and Nicole and Kimberly, as well as city council and to a degree city staff as well, is that we want to make sure that we have maintain separate identities among our assets, but yet they are complementary. So I really liked hearing what Nicole said about referring people from some of our other assets over to Seawolf Park that may not have been familiar with it, because we don't want them necessarily competing with one another, but we do want them to appeal, have kind of joining appeal for each of the assets as well. And I also think this is important with programming, because when I think of other tourist destinations that I've visited in the past globally, the resorts that you do attend, usually, I mean, I can picture almost all of them, some sort of whiteboard or a sandwich board or something that has, or maybe a chalkboard, something that has, you know, programming at the facility, at the resort, that you can look at and consult that usually appeal to all age groups as well. Okay. So I really like the fact that we're trying to copy something that works elsewhere, especially in the private sector. And then another thing that's resonated as well with all the interested stakeholders is kind of developing each park with a complementary component, such as Delaware being kind of the coastal lifestyle destination, the only place you can spend the night at, have somewhere that you can go and spend 24 hours. East Beach, East End Lagoon being an ecotourism destination, Seawolf Park being a historical and cultural destination as well, Stewart Beach being more of a concierge upscale resort style destination too. So I encourage the committee as well, before we open it up for further discussion, to, when you are traveling elsewhere and you think of places that are similar, that we want to be a premier competitor as well to some of the other tourist destinations. So think of something that you know you see works elsewhere that we can customize for Galveston and figure out how to fit those types of activities, those types of programming in here as well. So Nicole, I guess my only question would be, how best would it be for us when we do see something that we think that would fit in well in some of our Galveston assets, mm-hmm. how best would it be to relay that information? And will this be something that we discuss frequently throughout the year as well in our meetings?
So I think the best way is whatever works for you guys. You can, you know, pull me aside and discuss, you know, your program idea. You can send me an email. You can always talk to Vince or Ann or Kimberly. With programming, it usually falls in our announcement section. You know, that's really where we're sharing that information. We will be doing this part annually where we do a full recap. And then if the committee wishes, we can certainly do, you know, a mid-year review where we can talk about our ideas and what we saw. So really whatever way the community or the committee would like to take it is fine with me. Yeah, Anne, do you have anything else to
add to that? No, I would agree.
That?
I would say, we did our brainstorming session, end of November, mm-hmm. beginning of December. And so we have a follow-up to that this month, and we'll be working on what does the calendar look like for the 23 season. Some things we know will bring back Women in Coastal Science, for example. It would make sense beginning of March or when we have our March meeting to say, okay, here's what's coming up for the year, and then maybe it's a once a quarter or biannual update of what we're doing. As far as feedback goes, we know that that's an area where there's a lot of information and data out there that we haven't been collecting or getting, so that's very specifically something we're working on this year for programming is what is that feedback mechanism, what tools do we want to use. So Nicole's right, the easiest way is whatever's convenient for this group to reach us, but we're working on something that's going to be very deliberate and intuitive and easy for the community to use if they want to give us feedback about the programs. And so look for that so we can give an update on that when we're able to get that together and get that launched as well.
Great. All right, any other questions or comments or discussion points? Yes.
How do most people find out about your programming, like that are just coming maybe for a day trip that aren't here for a full week and don't go online and look things up? Do you get a lot of your day trippers coming to your programming?
We do. We're very lucky that we've got Visit Galveston, right?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people access it through your website.
We work. Nicole, in her role, connects weekly, biweekly. Has a meeting with the marketing team on, here's what we're doing at the parks, here's what's going on. We talk about what's going on out in the community over the next 3 to 6 months because, like people said, we want to be able to tie those things in, right?
Yeah.
If you're coming for Mardi Gras, which isn't at our parks, but come to our parks and find a connection, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what we're trying to build on is leveraging the power of Visit Galveston, their knowledge of what's going on out in the community, and then making a tie there. Social media is the strongest asset that mm-hmm. we have as far as marketing and release and getting out there. And then through our partners, right? Because we only have so much reach. So when GINDC does something and they're pushing it out to their audiences, or TMMSN, they're pushing it out to their audiences. So we're really trying to work on what does that reach to Houston look like, because that, of course, is a massive day tripper market. Mm-hmm. And so social media is definitely the strongest asset to reach people. And there are modifications that are being made to our current park board website that hopefully can leverage some more tools as well.
And then I will add to that, we are looking at going back to Mr. Hardcastle's idea of a big board that you get to see everything. We'd like to implement one of those at each of our parks, and we are playing with something on the seawall where it is just, all of our parks events, all of our programs, just key things that we want to highlight and make everyone aware of, because those day trippers, they are going to walk the seawall, right? So they're going to be able to see it. We want to ensure that they know, what park to go to and how to get there. So,
good question, Anne.
With the 101 days calendar, I feel like that's a really powerful asset. Are we distributing that at the hotels, at shops like on the Strand? I mean, to me, I feel like, to your point about day trippers or anything else, I think that's one of the most powerful items that we should be, or are we socializing those and getting them into the hands of local?
Right, so this was our first year with us, and our intern really played a big role in developing it, so we were really just seeing,
is it even cool?
Exactly. You know, we were really just flushing it out. And what we found was, it is a really powerful tool to use. And so we plan on really developing it. It was more of a PDF format. Mm-hmm. And moving into this year, we'd really like to get it into an actual calendar format that is something that we can hand out and give to the hotels and give to, the schools and all these areas and get it on people's fridges. Mm-hmm. We want it to be up there so they know what's happening. Yeah. So big moves in the future with that calendar, and any feedback or places where you guys recommend it should go would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll tag into this one just because we got a decent amount of questions on what was going on in the island this summer. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was just We had it on the computer in our will call booth, so when somebody walked up and said, hey, what's going on the island? And I'll be honest, I try to avoid handing out pieces of paper because I know exactly where they're going to go. Yeah. That's why we have the washed ashore exhibits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But visit Galveston's awesome.
Right, but I'm more envisioning like laminated, kind of hung in the hotel type, hung in, you know, not to your point, not paper.
Yeah, I mean, even a board with a QR code where they can.
Yeah,
and
QR
our calendar
code.
Does
walk
have
in,
a
it's
QR
on their phone
code.
Now, they've got it saved.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The great part about it is we did use a QR code. It was just on that small PDF. So when we enhance it, you can access the calendar and then click each item, and it'll take you to visit Galveston's page.
That.
So then it provides much more information than just that little snippet, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I would think that maybe concierge desks and front desks of the whatever's available would be.
Yeah, when I moved into my apartment, my landlord was like, can I have a copy of that? Because she owns Airbnbs, and so she put it up on all of her fridges at her houses. So
even like those little things they put on restaurants where they, you know, will have a menu item or whatever the case is.
Oh yeah,
the tabletop or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many, and especially I volunteered with the East End for the holiday tours and walked up and down the Strand. All of those vendors will happily let you hang up stuff, you know, again, more printed, formal, if it's nice, and it only enhances their business. I just feel like, I mean, I went to every bar and store on the Strand, and they all were like, sure, go hang it.
Good to know.
And there was no pushback at all.
Wow. Yeah, so then we will definitely.
Vince, did you have something?
I think just on this topic, obviously, marketing and our efforts of outreach are very important. At our next PAC meeting, we will actually have Melody from Visit Galveston here and to give the annual report of what we performed, how it worked, the reach, and really kind of expand on that. If you recall last year, it was pretty eye-opening for me. I was like, wow, we did all
this?
You know, the technology? And I work for the organization, so I think next meeting will be a great eye-opener, but also ability to expand on this discussion as well.
Tony?
I had a question about marketing at the airports, because a lot of people that come to Houston, some people aren't even aware of Galveston, and they're like, oh, Galveston, oh, beaches, what colors the water, and then they're like, done. But then you have Dickens, you have all these other experiences, and, you know, if you're into that, and there's something like that, it'll give you a reason to come to Galveston. So is there marketing at the airport about, like, events and activities?
I think that's a great question to actually hold for Melody's presentation next month, because when you start talking about the marketing dollars, that's all handled through Melody directly. Okay. And she's going to be a much better conduit of information on where, how, and why than this group would be. Yeah, ask Mom. She's got the wallet.
All right, anything else?
Well done.
Thank
you. I'd like to add one piece of it, and I say it to this group because you are all out there in the community and heavy hitters. You know, one thing that we talked about are marketing dollars. We talked about the programming and meeting the community. A direction we'd like to go, not this year, but as we continue to build and grow what we're doing, is look at sponsorship opportunities, right? How do people get connected? How do they support the program financially? How do they get their name on it? Or, you know, help supply us with what we need. And so when we get to a point where we start doing that, more as a cultivation and sponsorship side of it, then we look to this group to help us identify, you know, who we might approach or who we know might be interested in giving that support. Because there's oodles of potential, and, you know, we're only limited by, you know, our own creativity or our own budgets. And so if we can continue to be creative, go out to groups, have conversations, then we can just keep delivering. So just know that additional funding mechanisms or additional outreach are things that we're definitely looking at building on.
All right. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
Great job.
Very nice.
Nice job.
All right. We'll move on to item number 8, update on park revenues and key performance indicators. Mr. Corey Holcomb.
All right, good morning, everyone. Just want to let everybody know that these revenues and KPIs reflect as of December 18th. So you may hear some of these numbers and be like, ah, but it's not as bad as it looks. So Delamera, they're at 195,000, so about 4,800 short on camping revenue. Beach user fees at 1,400, about 1,200 short. And the gift shop at 2,400, so 328 over budgeted revenue. Delanera, currently they're repainting the pavilion. I haven't looked at it yet, but I heard it looks nice, so if you get a chance, go out and take a look. They're installing new facial boards around the deck of the pavilion, building picnic tables for the upstairs, and has replaced the west and east side of the front entry sign. Management worked with Ann and Nicole to host a sip and paint and a holiday Christmas sweater party. Seawolf Park, parking revenues at 105,000, so about 16,000 under budget. Fishing revenues at 203,000 and about 40,000 under budget. Grace the Whale Tail has arrived as part of the Wash to Shore program. We repaired a rip shade sail on the playground and others have been tightened, and all the parking lot light poles have been painted. Starting December 19th through March 1st, we have switched to our winter hours, which is 7 a.m. through 3 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, and 24 hours Friday and Saturday. Urban Park, currently at 211,000, about 88,000 under budget. Currently we're working with Beachtown Lawn Service to replace some irrigation in the planter boxes and fill them up with soil. It's gonna be a two-phase project. The second phase, we plan on adding florals, type of plants. That'll probably happen in March or April, so if anybody has any recommendations, we are accepting some. Staff is currently continuing pressure washing all the bus stops and walkways along the seawall and adjusting all the pay-by-phone signs along the seawall. East Beach had a total revenue $15,000, about $51,000 under budget. And then Store Beach had a total revenue of $37,000, about $16,000 over budget. Currently, the beach parks at East Beach, they reset emergency lane entrance points 2, 3, and 4. Reset bollards at the Boddicker entrance and fishing jetty parking lot. Staff at Store Beach has installed parking lot signs and poles in the west parking lot and all pedestrian bridges. Staff has also installed hanging trash cans throughout the west parking lot, reset emergency lanes on the beachfront, and have stored the mobile amenities away during the summer, or during the off season, sorry. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Corey, and I'm glad you started off your presentation as you did, because I read at the top, try not to be discouraged. Yeah. When I was reviewing this, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm also assuming this is also the slowest part of our fiscal year as well, correct?
Yeah, December is definitely, or December and January, really, slowest part.
That's what I was going to ask. So when it comes to like the budget, we'll use, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Is it straight line? So if you're going to have bigger, like, let's say the budget's $1 million, right, for the year. Is it $1 million divided by 12, or do y'all put that into the budget like, oh, December is going to be lower and up?
Yeah, we kind of calculate it by month, so it's not spread out evenly.
Okay.
If I could just make one observation. This is only my second winter season here, but last year, if everybody recalls what everybody did on Christmas Day, that was everybody put flip-flops on and hung out at the beach. Uh-huh. That did not happen this year, nor did it happen at all in December or November. So when you start looking at the impact, obviously the weather is really our biggest factor when we start looking at our success at our parks. And this winter has hit us pretty hard. So we're hopeful that we start seeing some warmer weather into January, February, March, and so we can kind of catch up on some of these shortfalls.
Is that what you attribute the lost revenue with camping? Delanera, huge number.
So Delanera is a separate component to it. Delanera, as the biggest impact, we're doing the sand nourishment project right now, building that beach. Mm. And when we put that notification out. We've had $35,000 worth of worth of cancellations because people want Dellinera because of the beach access.
Yeah.
And when that access is going to be limited, has it had a direct effect on our revenues.
And just to add on that, Dellinera is actually $25,000 over budget as of December 31st. So
you redeemed yourself, Corey.
Yeah. Attaboy, Corey.
Excellent. Good timing.
How close is Urban Park if you have that in front of you?
Urban Park, about $49,000 under.
Okay.
So,
again, weather.
Yeah, I mean, that week before Christmas.
Yeah, we know.
I got here Thursday or Friday. It was 3, according to my car. I mean, nobody's coming out to the beach when it's single digits.
Yeah.
Allison?
And 50 mile an hour winds. So, question about the seawolf fishing. I know before there was the moratorium. And so, is that still affecting some of that fishing revenue?
Unfortunately, it is.
Yeah.
That and the cold weather does not make good fishing numbers.
Those fish go out deep, right? They don't want to hang around.
That's a hard science to tackle. You know, the first year we knew about the moratorium, we reduced the budgets and we thought, okay, we reduced it enough, it's fine. And then this last year, we reduced the budget even further, looking at the actuals that we had, and then, you know, what the fish do.
That's more art than science, right?
It is.
It really is.
You know, and you could project low. You could say, well, we project low, but in order to build a budget that's viable out at Seawolf Park, we have to try and project in a realistic fashion. And we thought that we did, and the fish had other plans.
Great.
And the weather.
And have they announced any lift, though, on that moratorium? I think that's probably the question I was going for. No.
No. It's something that...
Indefinite.
We work with somebody at the Austin Capitol on an annual basis, and that's something that we're always discussing with them, and it's something of interest, but it's right now it doesn't look like that's going to be something that's going to be changing in the near future. And when I say near future, years.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm guessing that's a big factor, though, of your revenue around that one.
Yep.
They are.
As someone who hates temperatures below 50 degrees, despises it, I can totally understand and empathize. And I'm excited to see about the irrigation work, as stale as that sounds, but with the planter boxes and everything, just because, I mean, I think that, you know, if we're going to have those planter boxes, they gotta look outstanding. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So really excited to see that so that we can maintain those throughout the year. And, you know, when we have the opposite type of weather, when it's hot and dry and everything, too. So very excited about that. And then, you know, there is reason for optimism. And Corey, do you have an explanation on how we were, you know, through a little over halfway through the month, 75% over our budgeted projections at Stewart Beach?
Probably a better question for Vince.
Yeah. I think part of that this past year, we actually modified our season, and we were open through November, where in previous years we had closed down that first week of October. Mm-hmm. So this year we actually had some revenue coming in that we hadn't in previous years.
Yes, it was our first year. In other words, it was our first year budgeting for that type of schedule, and so it was the unknown. It bit us a lot of it at East Beach, but it was in our favor at Stewart Beach. So it's, you know, that's the science that we're trying to work through this year, and we'll know better for next year when we budget.
Great. Sounds like it was a success, though, for Stewart Beach.
It sure was.
Any other questions or comments? All right. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you, guys.
Moving on to item number 9, update from staff regarding city direction on the development of Stewart Beach and Seawolf Park, and Vince.
All right, so this is just a quick update. This is no formal presentation, but we wanted to make sure to keep you informed of what's going on in the process that we're going through. So at our last special meeting back in December, we had a discussion about the request for information. A document we went through, kind of looked at what that looked like at Seawolf and the ideas and the intent of that RV park. We've worked with city staff. We've turned that into from a letter of interest to a request for information to meet the city recommendations and guidelines for their procurement process. After that time, we did have a city council meeting that request for information document and also a request for qualifications for a master developer at Stewart Beach were both brought forward to the city council for their consideration. We did get a 7-0 vote in favor of moving forward in both of those items. So at this time, we have drafted the documents. They were before city council for their review and approval. We are still working with city staff on their final review to make sure there's no modifications or changes that they may need within their systems to make sure that on the front end we're getting the documents right and we're not on the back end going to pick them apart. So it gives us the opportunity to flush through those things right now. We have a meeting actually this afternoon where we're going to work through some of those documents. Our intent and the schedule that we had shared with council was that these items would hit the street as of next week. So on the 9th is when they're supposed to be posted. We will see based off of conversations this afternoon where we get on that process. All this brings forward, if we continue on this time frame, if we post within the next 1 to 2 weeks, the latter part of March, we would be taking those sealed bids and those formal bid processes back for review and then ultimately bringing them back to this committee, to our board, and ultimately to the city council with the recommendation and next steps. With the two different processes, just want to kind of outline what those look like, just for everyone's knowledge. The request for information at Seawolf is really to see if there is a private developer who has intent or interest in developing an RV park. If there is an interest and we have some dialogue with them and we've put it out there and we shopped it, we would have to still go through a formal process to determine who that individual or that group would be. We're seeing if there's interest, because there's also interest with us developing an RV park internally. So we're trying to kind of feel out the market, see what's the best direction to go there. We are also doing some analysis on an option, and the task force that Jason Hardcastle chairs for Seawolf Task Force of Development of that park is meeting next week, and we are also exploring the idea of putting in a boat launch, a boat ramp, and look at doing some parking and what that would look like from a financial assessment. The other item that we're working on is the RFQ for a master developer, request for qualifications for a master developer at Stewart Beach. As you recall, over the last several years, there has been some discussions. There was actually a process that had been performed in the past that did yield some interest in developers. Those developers really had interest on making a hotel and some amenities with it. The interest right now is to look at bringing in a master developer. This master developer would assist the city council and the park board through the process of master planning that facility and that site. And then they would be also the investment group to actually make the investments from a private aspect. So we will be working through that. Our hope is that in April timeframe, the city council will select a master developer. And then over the next, say 4 to 6 months, the planning efforts would take place. Our intent, our desire, our ambition would be that by end of this year of 23, we would have a clear vision and a action plan to move forward with development at Stewart Beach. So that's the update. Again, no real formal, just wanted to make sure that you guys are all in the loop and kept up to speed of what's happening and the timeline of those processes.
So Vince, just to make sure that I have this so I can keep myself accountable as much as anything else, the 9th of January is when we look to publicize the RFI/RFQ for Seawolf Park.
Those are the dates that were initially intended, that were the documents before city council that they approved. We're working through the city staff to make sure that those documents meet their criteria.
Okay.
So depending on their review and their feedback, that date might be pushed.
Okay. And then, so depending on when that final public date is, then March could be moved back as when we
It's a sliding scale, yeah. Mm. So it's roughly about a 3-month process.
You have one before you have the other.
Yeah, so we have certain, when you do a formal bid through a public agency like ourselves, you have to post in the local newspaper circulation for 2 weeks. You have to have it on your website for 30 days. There's all these different criteria that we have to do to give our best foot forward and give notice to the community.
So be more... Maybe a little bit more accurate to say January, at some point this month, we're looking at going public with the RFI for, is it Seawolf Park or Seawolf Park and Stewart Beach?
The RFI is for Seawolf Park. Mm-hmm. The RFQ would be for Stewart Beach.
Great.
And the intent would be that both of those, once we flush through, would be move forward.
Great. And then we come back with a recommendation in the spring.
Yes.
Okay.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I do have to step out. I have another meeting that I'm conflicted with, but I want to make sure that Vince is well represented. He is prepared. He's done everything that he needs to do on his end to meet the deadline that council has put before us. So as staff, we're ready. We're 100% ready, but we were only able to get a meeting and an audience with city staff this afternoon, and Dependent upon that is, that's really the hinge on the date for us. It's not anything that we've done to slow it down. We're just...
Right.
Following the process through.
And part of the reason, you know, the accountability that I mentioned here is because I put my neck on the line in November and everything with commitments as well in front of city council and city staff on these projects. So glad to hear that, you know, understanding that it would be kind of a moving target as well.
Yeah.
So
Vince was ready about it.
Just glad we're still in the same ballpark.
Yeah. Thank you for that. And again, I think really we want to show that collaboration and work through these items, and it's a lot better to work through those on the front end than on the back end.
So we have our Seawolf Task Force meeting on the 10th, if memory serves, and then the Stewart Beach Task Force, it's my understanding, and Vince, you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, because you'll know more about it than me. But, you know, we've had several different iterations over the last 5 years of a Stewart Beach Task Force.
Yeah. And,
I should know, because I think I've been on all of them in some capacity. So we do have recommendations from city council as well that was at that November joint meeting. So there may not be a need for an additional Stewart Beach task force, at least imminently, because we do have a lot of information already gathered and collected to submit as well. But we are on standby. We do need to form one to because the Seawolf Park task force is so successful that we want to replicate that, but we'll definitely keep the committee updated on where we are with both of those parks.
Oh, Sam? We've been discussing Stewart Beach for a while.
Question, just generally speaking, in the RFQ, you know, I think that building, is it condemned at this point? I mean, it's gated up. I was there last time I was there was the Alzheimer's Walk.
So the building,
can we just knock that thing down without...
Unfortunately,
the lifeguards all meet.
I think it's closed down.
The pavilion.
Oh, they're still using it.
Yeah, so the pavilion there today, the pavilion there today is closed to the public. There is a corridor that has been reinforced for falling concrete. That was the concern. There's a corridor that has been reinforced for staff to access. Those repairs to that concrete are actually underway right now. They're nearly finished. There was a $200,000 contract awarded to make those repairs. It was a requirement of our insurance agency to continue that coverage. And because of the timing, we needed to still have a place for Beach Patrol and also our park staff to have an office to work out of. So we had to make that investment. In the RFQ, it's clear that the intent is that the pavilion would be removed. However, if the developer wanted to incorporate basically the shell or some components of it, that we are interested in what that might look like. There might be, you know, pilings or foundational pieces.
I thought it was still completely condemned at this point. Mm-hmm. The last time it was.
No, there is a construction fence that is a temporary chain link construction fence around the pavilion today. That is being removed, and a more permanent fence that looks a little bit more attractive is being installed as of next week. We just obtained the permits for that.
It's kind of like Indiana Jones when you go to work. You got to dodge things falling and coming out of the wall and all that. But There's still people working in there.
Hard guys and steel toed shoes to get in.
Yeah, whips to swing over chasms. Yeah.
Bubble wrap.
Some steel toed flip flops.
But that is in the RFQ. What we are looking for our master developer is to tell us the best place to put a new facility, potentially for lifeguard and stuff.
I want to say thank you. You gave City Council an excellent presentation.
I agree. Very thorough. Very good.
Mm-hmm. It was very a great foundation. Feedback. Yeah, great foundation laid with the presentations. And, you know, I think, again, when we start looking at the collaboration and working through, you know, I think we all have a shared vision, and that's to make these parks better. So
absolutely.
And Vince's previous experience as in city management and everything has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
I rely on completely. Any other questions or comments from agenda item number 9?
No, just to piggyback on what Mary said, thank you guys for the job that you're doing with the task force and building that better line of communication for the process through the city versus just showing up with what we saw 5 or 6 years ago,
yeah.
$5 million project versus communicate more. And again, I think having Vince with experience dealing with the municipality and, you know, mm-hmm. the city councils has helped tremendously.
Right. Thank you. And I mean, that's one of the things that you look back and look at all these different iterations of proposals and everything. I think that at least we can say that we've learned what is received the best. That is constant communication and transparency and everything, and that's what we're trying to implement.
Agreed.
All right. No other comments. We'll move on to agenda item number 10, the committee work plan.
So this is just a standing item that we have for the committee to look at. If there's any requested additional agenda items, any things that we need to bring forward, and just kind of to keep us on track with our original vision. So if there's any feedback on this plan, any additional items that we want to bring forward, this is not a set in stone only thing we're going to do. There is some fluidity with this plan. There might be times when something has to be pushed out due to operational timelines or, you know, other factors that impede the ability to do these, exact month tasks. But again, if there's items that you want to see us bring forward, additional concepts, if, like earlier, if you wanted to see our plan for programs for season of 23, we can absolutely bring that back as well. So if there's things you want to see, just let us know. I'm happy to facilitate that.
Great. Thank you, Vince. And, I know that I like things set in stone that I can put in my calendar and work around. But I assume that if we do have significant progress in this month at Stewart Beach or Seawolf Park, we may have a meeting in February similar to the one that we had in December, just to give everyone an update and receive
input. Good idea. Absolutely.
So we'll do our best to communicate that and accommodate people's schedule if that comes to fruition.
And if there's updates that are needed, we can also always send out emails, just kind of, hey, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, just to keep everybody in the loop. So.
Okay, any other questions or comments? All right, moving on to item number 11, future agenda items. Anyone have any suggestions?
I've got kind of a question, suggestion. I spoke to Vince about this at the beginning of the month, about a master plan for Urban Park. And as we've been going through all these parks, Seawolf Park, Stewart Beach and everything, there's a master plan for every park. And I tried to look and I talked to somebody from the city, but I don't think we have one for Urban Park. And with now that we're generating revenue there with parking, it'd be nice to have a 5-year master plan as to what we intend to do with those funds, And then I don't know if somehow that may help with the $50,000 deficit that we're looking at now,
Absolutely. Yeah, what we can definitely bring back is the discussion. We actually have a meeting, just as FYI, this afternoon with the city manager, deputy city manager, their facility director about Urban Park and exactly that plan as relates to future investments, capital investments, you know, where additional dues and restrooms, lighting, and then what prioritization and where those go. So we are working through that assessment right now.
I would like to add to that, though, that the revenue earned through seawall parking is not park board revenue.
Yeah.
That is city revenue. We operate that on behalf of the city. So that's an important piece of the story because we can work with the city, and Vince is working with them and saying, here's the vision, what's the joint vision, what is the city willing to do and put forward as far as that revenue. It is intended to make improvements for the seawall, but we don't control that as our own revenue.
Great, so on the calendar, maybe in the future we can discuss that, give an update on the master plan and everything.
Great. Yep.
Any other suggestions for future agenda items?
I have one, and again, it kind of dovetails to what we have all been covering, is the programming to see the 2023 programs, hopefully, maybe in our March meeting. I'm guessing you'd have that pretty well finalized by then so that we can start articulating that.
Would that be possible to add for March?
We can bring that back in March and share, here's what we have to date. The good news is it evolves, right? Because, I mean, it could be July and somebody raises their hand out there as a community partner and says, hey, I want to do something with you. Mm-hmm. So we are flexible and we continue to build. So we can bring in March what we already have.
Mm-hmm.
And then in June, if we have a June meeting, we could share the summer fun calendar and what the promotion has been with that, because we got a lot of good feedback at the table today about some marketing efforts and where that information can be distributed. So yeah, we can do it in a couple different phases.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a question.
Tony?
We're talking about task force. I'm maybe unaware of, like, how do they operate? What do they do? And how many task force are there? For, like, I guess for the parks, there's one for each park, or how does that?
There is. Primary, right now, the only one that I'm aware of is Seawolf Park.
Mm-hmm.
And there could be potentially another Stewart Beach iteration, a task force. And the thought is that because there's different stakeholders there, particularly with Seawolf, the Cavallo Historic Foundation, City of Galveston, mm-hmm. and also Park Board, is that we get representatives from there and then an additional representative from the community at large. That can get together and coordinate plans so that we're not all, focusing on one parcel and with multiple facilities going in on that parcel. So it's another attempt of transparency and chains of communication.
And they meet separately from these committees, it's a separate, okay.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, usually those are just an ad hoc that the board itself will establish. If there's a specific task at hand. So the park board, established the task force for Seawolf for the purpose of master planning, site development, and kind of that future vision of that facility.
Any other questions? All right, we'll move on to item number 12, announcements. Yes, Anna?
We will be having nature walks at the Eastern Lagoon this month, and every month we have them scheduled. In years past, January and February are not typically well attended because it's cold and we do early morning. So this year we'll be doing our January walk on the 11th, which is next week at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And February's will be on the 1st at 2 p.m. to try and capture the winter Texans that we work with the CDB on. Programming for that, so we're going to try and get more people during these first couple months out, and then the rest of the months we'll be back to the normal schedule. I think it's the 18th, 15th, 20th, so the third Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. are the walks. So I lead some of those, some of our volunteers lead them, just depends, and they are weather dependent and access dependent. If the road is not accessible from rain, we put a message out to all the people who've signed up for them
that we have to cancel. So
and that was going to be my question. So do people sign up ahead of time? Okay.
Because of the location, we ask people to go online and sign up. And if I'm the only one leading it, I can't lead a walk out there with like 30 people. It's just not doable and not a fun thing for people to not be able to hear me talk or see the birds or whatever. So we do ask people to sign up.
And where do they sign up?
They can go to our website. So it's our Galveston Island Nature Tourism website, gintc.org.
That's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, and we have an Easton Lagoon page and it has all the dates and links for those.
So what is the typical attendance?
It really ranges. So we can have just, you know, 4 people show up, or we can have as much as, you know, 15 people show up. It just depends. And we did originally start them early morning, like 8 o'clock in the morning, but we weren't getting as many families and people coming out, so we've moved them back to 9 a.m., which seems to be a pretty good time. We've gotten people from Houston that have seen, you know, heard about it and just came down for that alone. Like, oh, we heard you have these walks, so we came down. People from out of state who are visiting will come, and it just depends where they hear about it, how they hear about it, and they'll just come out and enjoy it. A lot of times it's just bird watching, talking about the plant life that's out there, really casual walk. Sometimes people bring their kids, it just depends. Usually it's adults, but sometimes kids tag along.
Is there a cap?
We try to cap it at around 15, 16 people if it's just one person leading the walk.
Could be interesting to see if you get more in the afternoon.
Yeah, I'm interested, and we are always willing and happy to work with people to, you know, do an extra walk on the side if someone's interested in bringing out their group from a certain place or, you know, whatever it might be. We can arrange that and make that happen because it's just beautiful out there. It's always a good time when you get to go walk the trail. I think this
is a great program to publicize further.
I was going
to
say, are you okay with us announcing it today at the Easton Historic Board meeting?
Sure.
Okay, I figured you wouldn't hate that.
It's online and ready for people to go in there and sign up for it. So.
Okay.
And for the committee, it would be a good idea if you have some time and family want to go out to go do it, because that way when we're talking about the things that are coming to Easton Lagoon, you can visualize what and where. And why it's going to be super special.
Yeah, I always recommend it. I mean, you know it. You know, I've been to all of them. I mean, every year, and not just our tours, but every other month, just go around like this. Oh, Kimberly's not here, but knows when I spent the time out at Seawall Park one Sunday and taking photographs and looking at things and just, you know, you come accustomed to something being out there every day and it just becomes innocuous to you. But with the second set of eyes and that is how we've worked over the years, and it really helps the staff too.
Yeah, I would say that your market studies have been invaluable.
Boots on ground.
So the only piece, and it was shared earlier, but I would encourage everybody to take a ride out to Dallinera.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to look amazing. It is bright. Yeah. No longer is it desert tan colored. It is the beach, and it looks amazing. So yeah, it will be completed by end of next week with all the finishing trim. But right now it's a nice, bright, beachy color of that pavilion, and the facility is starting to look really amazing. So.
Nice.
So Vince, we brought you in from the desert to colorize the beach parks.
Well, I felt too at home initially. Desert, it's a tan. And then I'm like, whoa, why is it tan? Yeah, it's kind of blended right in with the sand. I'm going to change that.
All right, any other announcements?
I've got a couple things. So, piggybacking on visiting Dallinera, of course, Dallinera is one of the locations for Washed Ashore. So, Washed Ashore is only here a couple more months. These next 2 months are just going to go fast. So if you haven't participated, there's the widget on Visit Galveston that has an interactive map. You can check in at a location, win some prizes. So Dallinera and Seawolf are locations. Nicole mentioned the dolphin. It's not Dolphin Days. What is it?
Dolphin Discovery Zone.
Discovery Zone, the end of the month. And they pick that date to couple and piggyback on Museum Days. So Museum Days are the end of the month, last weekend of January. Another great thing that is led by Visit Galveston and kind of corralling all of the local museums and historic sites to provide special discounts or have increased attendance during the shoulder season. So another great opportunity out there. And then Nicole mentioned, and we're happy about the Houston-Galveston Area Council Award for Women in Coastal Science. The award ceremony is next month, and they say as many people as we want to invite, we can invite. So we will definitely be going, and we'll send this group the invitation if you want to join us and appear. It's in Houston, but it could be a morning worth your time to go and represent. I have no idea what it's going to look like. Last year's ceremony was virtual. So we're going to kind of figure out what the game plan is for the day. We invited the women who were our subject matter experts to come and join us, and we have at least one who's able to make it. So if you can, great, come join us that day.
All right. Thank you, Ann. Anything else? Okay. Well, then at 10:16, we will adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Economic driver
so, can be. Oh, yeah, really not.